This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
We're here to talk about Hagayin HaTzadik, Reb Aaron Wolkin, Zatzal. I apologize, there will probably be some repetition because I'm not privy to all the other speakers, but that's what happens when you're talking about a Greiser Mensch. People see a lot of the same things, but everybody has his perspective, his signum. Reb Aaron was a big man. He was big. And everything about him was big. He was a human being. He was a yid to the 10th power. Everything he did was with godless. Say his Torah, his Avoda, his Chesed. Everything was done bigly, with Greiskeit. He was a huge Baal Kishrin. Everyone knows. When he was a teenager, he wrote a sefer, a ganze chibur on Masechta Kedushin, which was praised by Gedolei Olam. He had breita yediyos b'chol mekzayos haTorah. Say the yeshiva shereid. And learning in Shas, wherever you spoke to him, he was there. You started a Gemara, he finished it. He was at home with Sifrei Chassidus. He was at home with the Sifrei Musa, all the schools of Musa, Slabodka, Nevardik, Kelm. He was at home. He knew everything. I once asked him a kasha and something, he right away pulled out a chassidish sefer and showed me Yener Rebbe gefragt the kasha. All over. We saw the tremendous haracha that his rabbeim had for him. Rav Shlomo Feivel Shustel Tzalayim Giyaron would come and speak sometimes, and he always spoke about the godless of Reb Aaron. Reb Aaron learned by him. Always extolled his Reb Aaron's greatness in learning. And we see in all the pictures with Rav David Feinstein Zatzal, Rav Belsky Zatzal, Rav Chatzka Roth Zalayim Giyaron, you see in the pictures the satisfaction that each one had to be mishtasheya with him in learning. And who can forget those summer afternoons, the Shabbos afternoon shiurim in the summer, on the long afternoons, he would give the shiurim in halacha, in contemporary halacha. He would start with the sugya, in the sugya sagamara, and take it all the way down to halacha lemaisa. Ad Paiskezim Aneinu. And you saw the clarity he had in all these inyanim. He fielded questions from everyone right away. Bali Gimgum, he would have the answers. He had a clarkite in contemporary halacha as well. Let's talk about his huge heart. Reb Aaron was the epitome of Ibdu es Hashem b'simcha. When he was in shul, he had that perpetual smile on his face while davening, while learning. You saw the avayda b'simcha. And I always had the feeling during L'chadaydi that by Boyim Shalom, he would just love to break out and dance. But he knew Al Kavod Atziba, the Olam, you know, the Olam's not holding by that Madrega, so they wouldn't stand for it. But he, if it were up to him, he would dance every L'chadaydi, every Boyim Shalom. And when, you know, when the situation allowed itself for a little dancing, a Yontif Tikka Shabbos or a Shabbos Parsha Zacha before Purim, he was the first one to start the dance. It just burst out of him. It was as if it was welled up in him, and he finally found the excuse to let it burst out. But he always had that simcha in him, that great gaguim for Avodas Hashem. He had tremendous chias in all parts of davening. When he would clap, he would say every word out loud, and his davening was always with his whole guf, and he would clap, and you know, kolatz moisav teimar. Who could forget the bitter tears he would shed when he spoke about Saras Yisrael? This was real. This was his gefil. It was big. Everything he did was with the godless. His avayda yamim nayraim, his simcha and simchas Torah. Although I wasn't zeicha to see these things, I had to be elsewhere, but I heard about it. And I saw the mizug of these two avaydas, the avayda b'simcha and the avayda b'yira, on Hoshana Rabbah. I davened here Hoshana Rabbah. And you saw the Yiras Hadin on his face when he blew the shofar. And you saw the simcha when he did the hakafis on Hoshana Rabbah. Reb Aaron was very charismatic. He was beloved by all. Wherever he was, whether in Brooklyn, in Queens, in Westgate, and here, he always had a following. He had chassidim. He was a real ayaves habrius from the Karva Latayrim. I remember Rabbi Bregman used to bring the college students, and he showed so much love to each one, and each one of them was so impressed with what a person could become, what a Talmud Chacham could achieve, could look like when they met him. And as great as he was, there were no airs about him. It was never about himself. It was always about Yenim. He always wanted to hear a good vart from someone else. Reb Ella, what do you have for me? He would always say that. Reb Ella, what do you have for me? He just wanted to hear from me. He wanted to make me feel good. That was always the beginning of our conversations when I walked in. Reb Ella, what do you have for me? And it became a mantra in my home. Because my children saw it, that was Mahanami, so they used to always, Rabella, what do you have for me? It became a thing in the house. But not only with adults did he do this, he did this with young Bachrim. He encouraged Bachrim to say Divrei Torah at Shalosh Shudos, and this was a great chizik for them, and it was a great hashpa on them, to see how the Rav listened intently to their Divrei Torah and was mechazik them. He would always look for ways to help the less fortunate, always worrying about them, asking, he put this, me Aitzis, if I have ways of helping, how he could help. He was a Rite of Shalom. I remember one Yontif night, he asked me to come over to speak with him, Adukhred, an Indian, after the Suda. Most people are tired after a Yontif Suda. He kept me for 2 hours trying to figure out all kinds of etzes to achieve shalom. I was falling asleep, but he was going on with all his kaifas. He loved Svarim. When he was in a Svarim store, he was like a child in a candy store. He just couldn't get enough. And I remember I once walked into shul, and he says to me, "Rebbele, I have something for you." And he gave me a sefer. It was Reb Meir Soloveitchik Al HaTorah, and he says, "I knew you would like this." And he gave it to me and was inscribed with a beautiful inscription. And this story repeated itself with different svarim a few times, at least two more times. "I knew you would like it." He bought me svarim. And in spite of his love for svarim, whenever I would ask him, "Rabban, can I borrow the sefer?" There was a sefer on one of the shelves. "Can I borrow the sefer?" He would say, "Keep it. Keep it." Now he had that sefer because he wanted it. But if I want a sefer, if I want to borrow a sefer, keep it. Like, you know, he'll replace it somehow. That was his attitude. Always fiend. I remember my wife once took a ride back from Brooklyn to Lakewood with the Rebbetzin. It seems they had to get two cars back to Lakewood, so the Rav drove one car and the Rebbetzin drove another car, and my wife was in the car with the Rebbetzin. Every 15 minutes, Rav Aaron called to make sure she's okay. And my wife came home, she couldn't believe the care, the daiga for his wife. Every 15 minutes was another call. Even though he's no longer with us, but because he was such a big presence, a powerful presence, it's a ktsas nechama, we still feel his hashpah. That's the ktsas nechama that we have. Yehi zichrei baruch.
It was a tremendous chus to get to know Rav Aaron Zatzal during the approximately 10 years we were neighbors and I was a mispalo in his base medrash. Rav Aaron, at a very young age, was known as a giant in Torah. I remember the first time that I met him, it was back in high school, and someone pointed him out and said, "You see that person over there, that boy over there? His name is Aaron Walkin. He's an Eloi. He's a genius. And you can ask him anywhere in Shas, and he has a yad, and he's very well versed." And he was only approximately 16 years old then. That was his goyness. And over the years, through tremendous hasmada and the great mind that he had, he acquired great knowledge in Torah. There wasn't a sugi in Shas that he wasn't familiar with. And more than that, almost every sugi in Shas he had chedushim and shiurim on. But his goyness in Torah is not something I really need to elaborate on. Most people know about that already. I would just like to touch upon a few points that other people might not know so well about Rav Aaron Zatzal. Pasuk says in Parshas Kisavai, by the Teichacha, it says that the clothes will come upon Klal Yisrael, Tachas Asher Lo Yavadatos Hashem Elokecha B'Simcha U'V'Tuv Levo, because you didn't serve Hashem with happiness, with Simcha. And the Mefarshim explain that we're not dealing with somebody who did not do the mitzvahs. We're dealing with somebody who did the mitzvahs, but he didn't do it b'simcha. Not doing a mitzvah b'simcha can bring upon the klolis of Parshas Kisavai in the Teichacha. So we see the power of doing mitzvahs b'simcha. Rav Aaron had such simcha when he did mitzvahs. He had simcha sachayim and simcha in doing mitzvahs. I vividly recall him coming down those stairs one morning, and he was clapping and dancing and singing. And I asked him, "Rav Aaron, what's the simcha about? Why are you so excited?" And he said, "What do you mean? Sukkos is coming. I'm going to sit in my sukkah. I have my lulav, my esrog." He was excited about mitzvahs. That's what brought him simcha. Mitzvahs brought him simcha. Not steaks, not vacations, not gashmias. His simcha came through the simcha of doing mitzvahs, for serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every summer, the family used to go to Vermont for a few weeks. And whenever I would ask him after he came back, I would ask him, "So, Rav Aaron, tell me, how was your vacation?" He said, "Vacation? I sat in my room and I learned the whole day. There was no difference between Vermont and Lakewood. I was indoors 98% of the time. My family schlepped me on a mountain here and a mountain there, so I went with them, but he only did it for his family a little bit. His simcha was sitting with a gemara, sitting with a shtender, and learning, and his simcha came from doing mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what brought him simcha. He was avad tos Hashem lekecha b'simcha v'tuv levo. The pasuk says in Tehillim, Hasam gevuleich shalom chelef chitim yasbiyech, which means Hasam gevuleich shalom. He places peace on your borders. Chelef chitim yasbiyech. He satisfies you with fat wheat kernels. And this seems like two random brachas. One is Hasam gevuleich shalom. Hashem will give you peace. And the second is Chelef chitim yasbiyech. He will satisfy you with great gashmis with chelef chitim. However, the Chasam Sofer says that these two clauses are connected. And Hasam gevuleich shalom is not referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's referring to each and every individual. And the pasuk is saying, Hasam gevuleich shalom, one who places his borders as shalom, which means he draws the line of where he will go and where he will not go, what line he will not pass. What will that line be? Shalom. Peace. If passing this line will cause machlekes, I will not do it. Hasam gevuleich shalom, if his borders are shalom, chelev chitim yasbiyech, he'll be zeicha to the great bracha of chelev chitim yasbiyech. Rav Aaron was somebody like that. Rav Aaron was like Aaron HaKoyen, oyev shalom v'roidev shalom. All he cared about was to make peace. And he would literally belittle himself for the sake of shalom. I've seen that many, many times, where he would do something that is not becoming of somebody of his stature, only for the sake of making peace between two people. He was a person who was sam gevuleich shalom. His line that he drew was not to pass the line of machlekes. Pasuk says, V'yohafto l'reacha kamoicha ani Hashem. Love your friend like yourself, I am Hashem. So I once heard a taich that translates the pasuk kamoicha, using the word kamoicha twice. V'yohafto l'reacha kamoicha. If you love your friend like yourself, kamoicha ani Hashem. Like you did, ani Hashem, I Hashem will do back to you. If you love your friend like yourself, kamoicha ani Hashem, I'm going to do, I Hashem will do back to you what you just did, and I'll increase in loving you. Rav Aaron had this tremendous midah of v'yahavta l'reacha kamoicha to an unbelievable level. Imay anoichi v'tzara was colossal by him. Something that you don't see by almost anybody. Anyone who ever davened in this shul on an ordinary Shabbos, not Rosh Hashanah, not Yom Kippur, a regular Shabbos, witnessed something that I'm sure he has never seen before. And that is the Mishaberach L'Choylem that Rav Aaron would make every Shabbos. He was literally drenched in tears for the Choylem. Choylem that he did not know. That's what it means, V'yahavta l'reacha kamoicha. Imay anoichi v'tzara. Yenem tzar was his tzar. I clearly remember when a member of the shul whose child was not well came in before Shacharis one Shabbos morning. And he walked in from that door, he walked over to Rav Aaron who was sitting over there, and they exchanged two or three words, and then they embraced each other and sat and cried for 5 minutes, and then this person got up and walked out. That was Rav Aaron. Yosef bocha al tzavar Binyamin, u'Binyamin bocha al tzavarov. No need for words, just tears. Share demois leinenalu. The gates of tears are never closed. And Rav Aaron knew how to access these Shari Demois. These are just a few thoughts about my great neighbor and friend, Rav Aaron Zatzal. Each midah that we just mentioned could be expounded upon for hours and hours with many, many stories, just touching on a few points of memories about Rav Aaron. He should be a Melech Yosher for his wife and his family, and they should keep strong. Beis Aharon bitchu v'Hashem. The Beis Aharon should have bitachim v'Hashem, because Rav Aaron is always looking after you from Shemayim, And therefore he should be a Melech Yosher not only for his family, but for the neighborhood and all of Klal Yisrael.
When the Balkan boys asked me to say a few words about my Yedid Nefesh, my Rav, Rabaran, I hesitated because I didn't think that I could capture and encapsulate the godless and the accomplishments of Rabaran in just a few short minutes. But then I remembered Gemara. The Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Nun Gimel tells us that Rav, probably shortly before his Patira, called over his Talmidim and he told them, Achim behespeda dehasam ka'amina. The simple translation of the Gemara would seem to be that Rav was telling his Talmidim that we all know that a neshama hovers above the kever for a certain amount of time. And Rav was telling his Talmidim, Achim behespeda, please give a very warm hesped for me, dehasam ka'amina, because I'm going to be at the Levaya. And obviously the Gemara cannot be understood in its simplistic form, because Rav didn't need a flowery hesped, certainly not after his patira. And I think that Rav was telling his Talmidim something much more profound. Rav was telling his Talmidim that as the Bali Musar tell us, we know a person was put into this world to be a hoylech, to elevate himself continuously to shteig, and a person can only do that while he's still in this world. When a person goes to the Olam HaEmes, he can no longer elevate himself, but he can still be elevated. And he can be elevated by people that he inspired during his lifetime, whether it's his family, his Talmidim, or his Mespalalim. When people that he inspired follow his example and do Maisim Tovim and good things because of the inspiration they had from him, then he himself gets higher and higher and has an Aliyah and Shemayim. So tonight I would just like to share with you something about Rav Aaron that has certainly inspired me and I'm sure many people in our neighborhood. So that if we could internalize that inspiration and if we could shteig because of that and we can create an aliyah, an hour in neshama from something we learned from him, that would certainly be the biggest aliyah for his neshama. There's a story told of one of the Chassidim of the Baal Shem Tov, a very wealthy chassid, that once walked into the Baal Shem and he said, Rebbe, I feel that if I would see Eliyahu HaNavi, it would be very, very good for me, and I would be able to shteig very much because of it. How can I be zeichet to see Eliyahu HaNavi? The Baal Shem Tov thought for a moment and he said, I would like to go to a certain town far away, spend Shabbos there, and you will see Eliyahu HaNavi. The wealthy chassid packed up his wagon, he went to the town, and he arrived there shortly before Shabbos. And he went straight to shul, he davened there, and after davening he waited for somebody to invite him for the meals. Unfortunately, nobody came over to invite him. And so he walked out of shul, and he started walking towards the village, and he sees a little house at the edge of the village. And he figured he'll knock on the door and he'll ask them to host him for Shabbos. He knocks on the door. The young lady answers the door and he says, I'm here for Shabbos. I have no place to stay and no place to eat. Would I be able to stay by you? The young woman looks at him and she says, I'm sorry. I'm a recent almana and I really have barely enough food for my own family. I certainly don't have enough to host you. I feel so bad. And the chassid says, don't worry about it. I'm a very wealthy person. I have a wagon full of stuff, enough for me and your whole family. Don't worry about it. And she said, if that's the case, certainly come in. He comes into the house, they sit down to the Shabbos meal, and he's anxiously awaiting for Eliyahu HaNavi, but the meal comes and goes, no Eliyahu HaNavi. So he figures probably he'll come tomorrow. The meal tomorrow comes and goes, no Eliyahu HaNavi. He figures Shalosh Shudas, the apex, the pinnacle of Shabbos, that's when he's going to see Eliyahu HaNavi. Unfortunately, Shalosh Shudas came and went, and no Eliyahu HaNavi. Matzah Shabbos, very down and depressed. He heads back to his town, and the next day he goes back into the Baal Shem, and he says, Rebbe, I did exactly what you told me, and I did not see Eliyahu HaNavi. What should I do? Baal Shem looks at him, and he says, go back again another Shabbos. I'm telling you, you'll see Eliyahu HaNavi. Next Shabbos, same story unfolds. He goes back for Shabbos, loads up his wagon, arrives before Shabbos, goes to shul, once again waits for an invitation. No invitation is forthcoming. And so once again, he figures he'll go to that house of the Almana. He knocks on the door and again tells her a story that he's here for Shabbos. And again, she tells him, I don't really have what to host you with. And he says, no worries. I have my wagon outside. I have enough stuff for me and your family. It's not a problem. He comes in and he spends Shabbos by their house. Friday night comes and goes. Shabbos morning comes and goes. Shalosh Shuddos comes and goes. No Eliyahu Navi. This time he's really down, really depressed. He goes back home. The next day again, he goes into the Baal Shem. And he tells the Baal Shem Tov, Rebbe, I did exactly as you said, and I didn't see Eliyahu HaNavi. What am I supposed to do? Baal Shem Tov thinks for a minute, and he says, go back again, and I'm telling you that this time you're going to see Eliyahu HaNavi. You'll definitely meet Eliyahu HaNavi. Okay, faithful chassid, he goes back a third time, and this time he stays in shul, and he waits till the last person leaves to see if somebody will invite him, maybe somebody else will invite him. Literally everybody left shul and nobody invited him, and he figured he has no choice but to go back to that young Amana's house. He goes back to her house and he's about to knock on the door when he hears crying. And he listens by the door and he hears the children crying, Mama, Mama, it's Shabbos, Tati's not here, we have no food, what are we going to do? And he hears the young Almana tell her children, don't worry, my Tayara Kindlech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Eliyahu HaNavi last Shabbat, two Shabbosim ago. He sent Eliyahu HaNavi last Shabbos. He'll definitely send Eliyahu HaNavi to Shabbos again. And it was at that point that the Chassid realized what the Baal Shem Tov meant. We all have an Eliyahu HaNavi inside of us. We only need someone to bring him out. In our neighborhood, we were Zaycha to have a Rav who epitomized and taught us what it means to be an Eliyahu HaNavi. His Avos Yisrael was legendary, it was off the charts. And it was that Avos Yisrael that fueled his amazing ability to always be able to put the needs of others before his own. Whether it was the needs of his family, whether it was the needs of his Talmidim, or it was our needs. I never saw him hesitate to give us all the time that we needed. And I believe it was that amazing ability that he had to always put the needs of others before his own that catapulted Rav Aaron into the arena of greatness. Of course, he could have never done that without the backing of his faithful Rebbetzin, who understood the potential and kaychas that Rav Aaron had, and she was so willing and able to share him with us. And for that, we will always be grateful. It is my hope that I could learn from Rav Aaron. He has definitely inspired me, and I'm sure he has inspired the neighborhood, how we ourselves could bring out our Eliyahu HaNavi and become so much more of a giving type of people. My hope is that we could learn from him, we could internalize it and integrate it into our lives, become so much better because of him, and if we can create an Aliyah for our neshama because of what we were inspired from him, that would be the greatest aliyah for his neshama.
Rabbi Aaron Wolkin, Zechariah Levracha, Zechat Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha, was an amazing person. He had a mixture, a blend of warmth and chassidishkeit and heimishkeit for every mispalel, every person who walked into the shul. He would give a shalom aleichem to a big hello, whether you were a little child or you were a guest. Didn't make a difference how you looked, how you acted. He had a genuine warmth and you felt that love to every person who walked in. Especially was Mechab Rabbanim. Any Rav that came in, he would run over, force him to sit up front, give him his shtenda, try as hard as he could to be Mechab that person and ask him and things and walk him out. He had this just, he exuded warmth. Besides him being a tremendous Talmid Chacham and knowing all over, whenever you told him a word or asked him where it said something, if he didn't know right away during the week, he would text you or call you, I found it here, I found it there. He was always very concerned with every mispalel, every person who walked into a shul, to make them feel at home, wanted, loved. And he will be greatly missed. There were my father-in-law, Shlomo Miller, would come and he'd bring him in and he'd set him up and he'd ask him shilas, and he wouldn't let him leave until he asked him every shayla he wanted to ask him. And he'd walk him out, and it was just a sight to see. The way he was mechabed every, not just gadol, but that same kibbutz he gave to every human being, to every child who come over, tell me a vart. Friday nights afterwards, he would say a little bit Torah to the people, a little shir, whoever was interested in listening. If you weren't interested in listening, he was fine with that also. He really was a unique individual. And his zichron will live with all of us who was zeicha to know him for the rest of our lives. And he should be taka melitz yosha for not everybody, not just everybody in this community, and of course his chashuva family, but for Gantz Kal Yisrael. Thank you.
We're here tonight to celebrate the life of my Rav, my Rebbe, my dear friend. It's very, very, very difficult for me to stand here. This was my second home when we lived here. We moved about 4.5 years ago. And moving was very difficult. Leaving this neighborhood, leaving the Rav was difficult for me and for the Rav. And the reason why it was so difficult is because the Rav was so different than any other Rav that I'd ever been privileged to know. He was a person that was kulo lev, just pure heart. There were no inhibitions. It took me by surprise because we're not used to seeing such people, especially in the frum world. People are a little more inhibited. But with the Rav, he was just, there was nothing to him besides for his heart, his love. Unbelievable person. When I moved away from here, we would keep in touch. I can't imagine I'm the only person that was in his life, and yet he would send me texts all the time. I have them in front of me. I'll just read you some things. We would learn every Thursday night together. We learned Nach, we learned Navi. And one week, I couldn't come for some reason. He kept bugging me. He kept begging me, Rabbi Chio, can we learn tonight? I don't think I can go another week without seeing you. Things like that, like with such kirva and such amazing... Or he would just send me, oh, Yechiel, kol sha'alai peridaschem, especially when I hum to myself im kabanim. I'm reading his words that are still alive. Or stam in the Valtarayim, March 9th, mitrachten wegen dir, thinking about you. Such an amazing person. And of course, the pinnacle of our year was Yom Nerayim. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, I had the opportunity to be the Shliach Tzibur. And he, first of all, he would daven Shachris, the Rav would daven Shachris, and I would daven Musaf. After the Avodah that he put down, anyone who was here for Rosh Hashanah, anyone here was here for Yom Kippur, it was ad klois ha-nefesh, he mamish and told he would collapse in a... I don't know how he did it. It was unbelievable. And after seeing that mysterious nefesh, and I would get up afterwards and I would look over to him, and he always had that same thing. He would just go like, Rabbi Chil, it's just me, you, and the Rabbi Nishalem. And he always used to say, one day it's going to be just me and you in the Beis HaMikdash. And, you know, we're hoping, he got there before me, we're hoping that one day that kesher nafshi, which can never be extinguished, you know, you're not here physically, but you'll always be right here in my heart and in the hearts of everyone that you influenced. Rabbeinu Shalom should help that we should see Mashiach b'karav mamash, and we should rejoice together in the Beis HaMikdash like you so desperately dreamt of and talked about.
It's almost surreal to be standing here in the same spot that the Rav Zatzal gave many amazing drasha every Shabbos morning and other times. And it seems like it was just yesterday, but remarkably it's been 9 months, and I can't even imagine where the time went. I think back to the first time that I actually met the Rav. I had just moved into the neighborhood, and I was looking for a place to daven, and I popped in on a mincha, Shabbos mincha, and the Rav was giving, I think it was a shir, either Pirkei Avos or Halacha. I was sitting on the side, learning, maybe it was Shnaya Mikra. I was listening in, it sounded interesting, you know, maybe I inched a little bit closer throughout this year, but wasn't really partaking in this year. After Mincha, I was purely a newcomer, the Rav came over to me. He said, "Oh, I noticed you were listening on this year, and you know, please, you're invited. What's your name? Welcome to the neighborhood." Gave me the warmest welcome that a person could really imagine. For those that know the Rav, you could imagine that warm welcome that he gave. And it wasn't very long after that that we had a full-fledged Chavrus Lashav every Sunday, and you know, the hours that we spent learning and just discussing various topics and Hashkafa and life was beyond valuable. There was one vart, and for those that know the way the drasha went, and then after the drasha Shabbos morning, as we were leaving shul, first everybody got a personalized goodbye with maybe a little Hasidish Averta for the Hasidish guy and a Litvish Avart for someone that was walking out that was Litvish. But then the Olim would gather around the table and we'd rehash the drasha, and it'd be moisiv on all the things that couldn't necessarily say at that time just from time constraints and the dehera that he wanted to put into it. And one vart that he said many times comes to mind that I think the fact that he said it over so many times had a deep meaning, and in my opinion, I think it was almost like a calling. It was a chidah that he said in regard to the mitzvah of Egla Arufa, that the question is asked that the Zakenim come out and they say Yadeinu L'shav Kos Adam Hazeh, and they have to be involved in this whole process, and the Gemara explains the reason is Shaloi Kidmu B'Leviya, they don't walk the person out of the town. That was the big taina on them. So the question is asked, what was the big taina that they didn't walk the person out? So the Rav always used to say over from this chidah that it was Isra Mazlo of the person. Had he had the proper Leviya, he had the proper walking out, he would have been in a better mood. He would have had a little bit of a more chizuk. He would have been in a better place. And then his mazel would have been in a better place. And who knows if he would have bumped into that person that gave him that end when he was leaving town. His whole that little chizuk would have gone so far for the person that would change the trajectory of his whole life. The Rav lived that mitzvah. Every encounter with a person was an opportunity for chizuk and an opportunity to change the trajectory of their life. That's the way he approached every single ben adam and chavero, every single relationship. He put his entire entity into it, because it wasn't just a good morning, how are you? When he left the Rav, it was be well, be well, be well. He put so much into that be well, because he knew that he can change the trajectory of a person's life with a little bit of chizuk like that. That really epitomized who he was. Every connection he took so seriously and cared for, because he understood what it meant to give over to another year. It's no coincidence. I think back to my last conversation that I had with the Rav. Amazingly, it was just a few hours before the Patira that I had called to tell him the good news that I had had a baby boy. And nobody at that point knew the seriousness of the situation, but the Rav wished me a mazel tov and benched me so warmly and so deeply, like without any care, complete disregard for his own personal situation. Once again, that was just the essence of who the Rav was, with always caring and going out of his way, putting himself out for the other person. Typically, you would end a speech like this of Askara with, you know, that the nifter or the Rav should be a good vetter. But when you're talking about our Rav, Radach Nishzagin, which is Zayin Agutta Vetter, he's the ultimate vetter. He's always looking out for every single one of his respondents, everyone is Talmidim, and Avada and Avada, he's a grace of vetter for all of us.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.